from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. Want to thank you for listening wherever you may be. Of course, you can always listen on 92.9 FM ESPN, 680 AM. And you can always stay up to date if you're on the move, if you're traveling during the summer, anytime, anywhere. Download the Odyssey app. You can stream us live from anywhere. You can keep up with the rewind feature if you missed a segment and go back and listen. It's all right there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is, of course, the executive producer of The Gabe Kunz Show, the original producer of Gene Otto and Jeffrey, the Eric Hasseltine Show, when we didn't really have a show title in between. He's on Twitter, on X, at CDunning929. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir. I just got done making my tattoo appointment to get Steven Nedorosic on my body after that pommel horse performance.
All right, one more time. Last name?
I believe it's Nedorosic.
Okay.
I heard it once on the broadcast, so I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But either way, American hero.
For those that don't know, he's the one. He's very easily identifiable. When he's just sitting around, he looks like the biggest nerd of all time.
Yes.
Yes. And then he goes and he just rocks the pommel horse. Got us all the way from, I believe, fifth up into the medals. So we finished with a bronze. Right now, does feel like we're winning the medal count, but we're not winning the gold count.
We're making it difficult for us.
Correct.
We're letting the other teams get a lead.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can make it fun
like
at the end.
Biscuit. Yeah. We like to let you get out in front.
100%.
Think that you're out in front. So we'll tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It is Monday. So it's Overreaction Monday. We'll overreact to what we saw this weekend. Of course, the Olympics so far has been the big story of the weekend. We'll discuss all of that in just a moment. We'll start with Team USA basketball. Also, Jason Munn's going to join the program as he does each and every Monday. We'll talk Tiger Hoops with Jason when he joins us. We'll get in the list to start hour number two. We got watch list season. We've got ESPN predicting some quarterback battles. Tyus Jones didn't get a great deal for Tyus Jones, but I think the Suns got a great deal. We'll discuss that. We'll get into some NFL training camp news during hour number two. Also, we have the Hall of Fame game this week, so we will have actual football. I think it's 26 straight weeks of football starting on Thursday night, where we will watch third and fourth teamers not get the snap, and we'll bet the under, because that's what we do at the Hall of Fame game. You have to stand for something. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But Connor, I think like you, I found myself this weekend, particularly when it was raining to start Saturday, I was like, I'm not going to go play golf. Like, I was like, I'm just not going to try to fight this. So we started all day Saturday basically watching the Olympics. Yesterday, pretty much throughout the day, watching the Olympics. We went, Aaliyah and I went to a movie last night. We got to be single parents again. That was nice. So we did that. But I think the Olympics pretty much took over the weekend. So let's start with the sport that I think the most people in our audience care about. Let's start with Team USA basketball.
Please.
And I can go one of two routes, because we can start with a basketball thought or we can start with a general thought. What would you prefer?
Let's do general thought first.
All right. General thought is General LeBron James.
Yes. Le Captain America.
LeBron crossing the Delaware was, without a doubt, one of the funniest, like, images, moments. Just that little, like, 15 seconds before they threw it to commercial break with him out in front, flag flying, and it really does look like the iconic painting of Washington crossing the Delaware. The thing with LeBron is, when LeBron tries to be funny, he is not. But he might be one of the greatest comedic minds of all time, unintentionally.
Unintentional comedy.
It is hilarious. And like that moment, I had to go back. I even took a video of it, put it on Twitter, because I was sending it to Jeff. Jeff was out walking. I was like, oh my God, you missed it. LeBron crosses the Delaware. And it was just fantastic. Like, it was one of those all-time moments with the poncho, everything, the rain getting in his face. I could not stop laughing. I could not get enough of it.
It's the art, but make it sports guy. Yeah. He was like, listen, this might be low-hanging fruit, yeah, but it still goes hard as hell. And it was the most LeBron moment, because like you said, if he tries to be funny, if he's in on the joke, it's never funny. It's LeBron, though, might be the most unintentionally funny athlete that we have going right now. And he also just happens to be still maybe the best basketball player in the world, because his performance this weekend was pretty crazy. And I was talking to Gabe about this a lot last week. It has been pretty cool to see how not just the Olympic basketball team, but just Team USA in general, every Olympian out there is reacting to him, because, you know, he's the elder statesman. He's the guy that's been there for a very long time. And you can just feel players and athletes who grow up watching him kind of shell-shocked that they're in the same room as him and being led across the Delaware by him to go to war.
Well, I mean, the other thing that you realize is there is no other person at this Games that's more famous than he is.
Right.
Like, even when you, like, yes, NBA basketball in Europe is nowhere near, forget like what it is. I think even in America, I think it's probably not even as big as it is in Asia. But everybody knows who LeBron James is. Like, I think one of the other, like, cool little moments is you saw when the captain of whatever, the actual captain of the boat that Team USA was taking, like when he had to get the selfie with LeBron, like it makes you realize, like, oh yeah, he is at an event that is a collection of the best athletes in the world. He is the most famous person there.
And even the way Kevin Durant has been interacting with him, because one of the funniest things about that photo is you see Kevin Durant in the background kind of just peeking around. Durant, also pretty funny guy. And if you are not aware today, there are normal human beings, non-athletes, trying to argue with Kevin Durant about how basketball works and how offense should run. That is peak internet brain rot. If you were arguing with Kevin Durant, arguably one of the best offensive weapons we've ever seen in basketball, period, you just need to go outside and touch the grass real quick, because I think that he might know more than you. That's just a hot take.
Yeah, I've also never understood the, like, it's one thing to go online if you're, like when you and I had the BetQL show and we're living and dying watching games that we're betting on and you want to rip a player because you've got money on the game, that's one thing. I've never understood the, I'm going to tag someone to try to get into an argument with them. I guess it's clout chasing. Is that?
I truly think that some people just, my last name is Dunning, but the Dunning-Kruger effect runs rampant throughout this country. I live every single day of my life in fear of becoming an example of that.
Yeah, and you never want to hold up a family name in the negative, but I don't know, like that's always just been lost on me. It's like, and then, I mean, you know, Durant's going to get in the mud. Like,
right.
That's, you know, I guess now at least he's like doing it on his own account rather than the burners. That's all well and good. But I think that to me was the highlight of Friday. Just that entire moment, everything was awesome. Then trying to figure out, like, does anyone know was that the Assassin's Creed guy that was going through Paris?
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, when he saw him on the horse on the Seine, like, that was cool and whatnot, but I still never quite understood, like, is this a reference to something that I didn't know? Like, when he was in the underwater, like, subway, I was like, is this Phantom of the Opera? I don't really know the plot to Phantom of the Opera, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Then there was the Headless Marie Antoinette, so whatnot, but that metal group was absolutely rocking and rolling, so... Yeah, the opening ceremonies, they did about what I expected.
So I can confirm it was an Assassin's Creed character.
Okay, that was my only thought. I was like, the only reference that I could get is that looked like the guy from Assassin's Creed, but I don't know, I don't remember a version of the game that went through the streets of Paris, but I quit playing the game, I think, in like 07.
Yeah, I think the last one I did was either the American Revolution one or the Renaissance. I can't remember which one came first.
I think
it
went Renaissance, then Revolution.
Revolution. So that was the
last
one.
Was the Renaissance.
His name was Connor, so I was like, this guy's sick.
Yeah, and then they had the bad movie with Fassbender when you're like, did Fassbender go through a divorce?
I have not seen it, yeah.
Like, why is there was a...
Just never saw it.
It was like after, like, you felt like Inglourious Basterds, like, okay, we're about to go into Fassbender season. And then, like, he started doing a couple other movies. You're like, wait, is he broke? Like,
what? It's every once in a while, these studios, because it was before video games really became the true next step after superhero movies, because it feels like we're heading that way. Well, so they shot a little too early, but it was also a little bit too late after the games were really popular. So it was just kind of in no man's land whenever it came out. It was bad.
It also took us a while to figure it out. Like, remember, it was Gyllenhaal, Prince of Persia. Like, it took us a while to figure out how to take a popular video game and turn it into a movie.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, gameplay, whatnot. But, yeah, so that happened on Friday. All right, it gets us to yesterday. And so a couple of basketball thoughts. I think I'll start with my first overreaction from basketball in general. We're getting what we deserve with Joel Embiid.
Yes, agreed.
Like, he's getting booed by the French people. And my whole thing is, almost everyone's initial reaction when you saw Joel Embiid is going to Team USA, almost everyone was like, why? Like, it wasn't even necessarily, okay, like, it wasn't even rooted in, well, we don't do this, whatnot. It was just like, that. It never felt right.
No, never did.
From the beginning.
I was never excited about it.
And I obviously understand when Jokic is on the other side, it's going to be difficult to look good because Anthony Davis, we spent the entire, not this playoffs, but last playoffs, thinking he was the best player in the world, and he went up against Jokic, couldn't stop Jokic. And really, honestly, no one really stopped Jokic yesterday. They just didn't have enough of the other firepower.
So when Jokic was on the floor, the game was 81-81.
Yes. And
that's how good he is.
But to me, there's this other weird thing. It's like, is Embiid healthy? Like, I just don't get what we're doing here. I don't get what he's doing here. Like, is it ring/medal chasing? Like,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
But we don't really care. Like, we don't put Olympic Melo was like a joke.
Well, Olympic Melo,
he was a good player, but at the same time, like, we used Olympic Melo as a pejorative to Carmelo.
I think Melo, though, he hit a moment where we all truly wanted to see Melo win something. Because he's a likable player. He was likable. It's like we understood, okay, he chased your bag, but he never complained about his teammates as much. Embiid is just simply unlikable. He's not a likable player. I don't like rooting for him. He flops constantly. He's terrible at defense. He whines all the time. He hasn't adjusted his game to FIBA whatsoever. If you throw him the basketball, it sticks to his hands. He's not going to pass it back out. And just let me go through the plus minus.
Yeah.
Of guys that actually played basketball yesterday, here are the plus minuses. +8, +9, +21, +12, +28, +9, +15, +20, +16. And then we get to Joel Embiid, -8. How in the hell are you -8 in a game that Team USA won 110-84?
I want to be fair. And so I guess if you're Grant Hill and you're the people at Team USA, if Embiid's people contact you and say, hey, we want to play, it's either going to be US or France. I get like you can't really say no, but at the same time,
you don't have to start them.
That's the other thing I don't understand. Like, is this LeBron kind of low-key protecting AD? Because when AD gets in there, it's just dominance.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, as long as he doesn't have to go up against Jokic, like, AD's going to dominate. Like, is it presenting Anthony Davis in the best light, because I just don't understand why you wouldn't have at least tried to nudge him. Hey, why don't you go do the France thing?
I think it's Steve Kerr doesn't necessarily know how to manage this team. I know that they had a huge win yesterday, but it is very clear to me that Steve Kerr is not really the right coach for this team and hasn't been for a few years. He just doesn't really know how to use the bigs. He doesn't know how to operate with the rotation. It's very weird. It's disjointed. And to be quite honest, if LeBron didn't have a huge game, I do feel like it would have felt stagnant, because in the first, they were down 10-2
They were down 10-2.
There's just no movement on the offense whatsoever. It's basically like, hey, you go do an ISO thing. You go do an ISO thing. You go do an ISO thing. And then ultimately, when you have LeBron, KD, and Steph out there, things figure it out because they're three of the best 10 basketball players you've ever seen?
Yeah, particularly offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make the argument Durant's the most gifted offensive player.
Without a doubt.
You can make the realistic argument Steph's the greatest shooter we've ever seen, and then LeBron's the greatest all-around basketball player we've ever seen.
And there was a moment where the three of them were just taking turns, and it was awesome.
Listen, no one would love to take Kerr down a peg like I would, because you do have this moment where you're sitting on the bench, or you're watching the bench, and you're like, I think you'd make a case all three assistants would probably be better coaches. I do kind of want to be fair in that I think it might be damn near impossible to coach this team.
Maybe. It's just, for me, it's as simple as Devin Booker probably shouldn't be getting the amount of minutes he's getting, and Joel Embiid doesn't need to be starting these games, because they keep starting slow, and they're starting slow, one of the reasons, I think, is Joel Embiid. He just doesn't fit with the starting lineup. I think he makes more sense with the bench. I think that they should probably be starting either Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo. Like, the two of them, their defensive presence have been phenomenal so far throughout the showcase and the Olympics in the first game that we saw. They had a lot of success, even against a guy like Jokic. You know, they did a better job than Joel Embiid did. I think it's just, with Team USA basketball, you have to be able to move the ball more, and the offense can't necessarily run through a big. I know that Serbia does it with Jokic, but that's because they're forced to. I know that Greece does it with Giannis, but that's because they're forced to. But they also lost both of their games. I think to be successful with this Team USA team, you just can't have a center where you throw the ball into him and it's not coming back out. He's not going to flow within an offense. And to be quite honest, he does look a bit hobbled right now.
Yeah.
And defensively, he's just getting blown by. He can't do much on the defensive end right now.
So I'm not saying that I disagree with anything you said. The struggle that I have had, though, is it seems obvious to me where the rest of the world is caught up is most everyone can put a credible starting five.
Yeah.
Of the medal contenders, everyone can put a credible starting five out. Where you see where we absolutely rip teams apart is, okay, as soon as you have to get to the second unit, our second unit is still arguably all NBA first team guys. And so I've also wondered, like, if we started the second team and the starters went back to the second team, would they not just have the same numbers? That's kind of been the thing that I've... It's like somebody has to start and play against their good guys. Whoever gets the advantage of playing the second team's always just going to rip numbers. But to me, it really just comes back to, I don't understand, like, why we chose to get involved in this Embiid thing, because it just seems very, very unnecessary.
I think you kind of nailed it when you said they called and said, listen, it's going to be y'all or France. And you can't really give France Joel Embiid. So it's kind of addition by subtraction. You know, hey, we'll keep him on this team. He's not going to crush you. He's not going to make you any worse. He might just not fit necessarily, but you can still win basketball games because you have the talent that you have. But if you put him on France, you run the risk of, okay, now they have Wemby, Gobert, and Embiid, and he might, you know, just maybe he turns into something during the Olympics that is very difficult to deal with. And I think they just couldn't take that risk. And that's why Joel Embiid is honest. Listen, it's Joel Embiid. He's just been really frustrating the last year and a half, 2 years, because of the constant complaining he's doing. I don't like the style of basketball that he plays. I understand why he wants to be on Team USA. I think some of the hate he has gotten specifically about his nationality is out of bounds. It's been pretty unfair. He is, you know, a U.S. citizen. He's got a pass. It's people asking, hey, show me your passport and all that stuff. That stuff sucks. My problem with Joel Embiid is simply basketball. I just don't think he should be starting because I am worried that a slow start is going to catch them at some point because you can't – because right now they are just basically being like 40-year-old LeBron James lead us out of the slumps that we have during these games, and that just seems like a risky proposition to me. I'm the biggest LeBron guy in the world, but I still have some worry about leaning on a 40-year-old LeBron James as much as Team USA has had to. I mean, the last three games, they have won because of him. He has been the reason they have won the last three games.
I would argue Durant had had an equal role.
Sure. Yes, last game?
Yes. I'm saying yesterday. Durant, especially because that game was getting kind of weird, and then all of a sudden Durant hit what, his first
eight? Well, they had a run where it was just Durant and LeBron going back and forth, and then Steph was like, I want to be in this, and just started bombing threes.
Steph had a three in the fourth quarter that was like bullying. Like yeah. It was like...
Oh, when he turned around and walked away?
Yeah, that was bullying. Yeah, I guess I can see your argument. It's like the good old-fashioned, like when Bear Bryant was at Alabama and he would take a kid just so someone else couldn't have him.
Yeah.
I can kind of buy that argument, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, France with another big, like, they're not all going to play. Like, I don't know, it just feels really, really unnecessary. All right, now let's get to the whole Tatum thing. I understand, hey, don't make him the human victory cigar and just play him when the game is out of hand because then it feels like it's like petty, you know, it's like pity points, whatnot. What kind of bothers me about it is there are plenty of opportunities where you could put him into play and yes. It's not pity moments and now you're not having to deal with all of this.
Yes.
Because... Do I think Tatum is in, and Tatum is also, in fairness to him, he is falling victim to, we have decided that this is going to be the LeBron, Steph, and to a certain degree, Durant thank you tour.
100%.
And I'm fine with that. Now, I don't want this to happen again in LA, but I'm fine with that. These guys deserve the right to have the thank you for all you've done tour because they've carried the league. They've done so, and they've taken the league to new financial heights. Like, I'm fine with that. And you cannot define American basketball without those three guys. I'm cool with it. I don't want to do this again in 28. But there are plenty of ways that you could have worked Tatum in where you're not having to sit there and just, you know, you've got people tweeting out, like, the richest Gatorade handout guy, and then Gatorade's retweeting it, and someone pointed out to Gatorade that, hey, he's a Gatorade athlete, and then they're having to delete it. You're having to just answer all these questions that I feel like are completely unnecessary. I feel like now the only way that it works is, like, I think next time, what, to your point, Booker's going to probably be the guy that just sits the whole game?
Maybe. I don't know, because it seems like Steve Kerr likes Devin Booker a lot. Booker plays all the time with Team USA whenever Kerr is coaching. So I don't know if it's going to be Devin Booker, but it's just I kind of feel bad for Jason Tatum because I tend to agree with you. When the guys in your position in front of you are LeBron James and Kevin Durant, it is going to be tough to get in there.
Yeah.
But when it's a game that clearly turned into a blowout by the end of it, get the guy in. Put him in for 5 minutes. Avoid this whole circus that you have to deal with post-game. Because instead of talking about the performance that Team USA had, most of the conversation is around, why didn't Jason Tatum play? Well, why did Joel Embiid play, but Jason Tatum didn't play when, you know, he could have given you actual defensive minutes? It's there, and now Steve Kerr has quotes that are like, well, you know, I felt like an idiot for not playing him.
Ugh.
All you had to do was throw him in for 5 minutes, man. Well, if you could find minutes for most of the guys during that game, a couple minutes for Jason Tatum wouldn't have killed you.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, yeah, like you can bring him off. You could bring him off the bench. There, yes, you're going to play Ant, duh.
Right. Have to.
But why couldn't he have been the next wing off?
I also just don't really think it's that big of a deal.
I don't either, but my whole deal is they're acting like this was game flow dependent.
Right, and I think that's what's bothering.
That's what annoyed me. It's like, no, they made a decision that they're not playing it.
Right. I don't have a problem with not playing Jason Tatum. It's the reason they're telling me they didn't play Jason Tatum, I don't believe. I just find it a bit silly. It's like...
It's been obvious they had been phasing out Halliburton.
100%. Like and that was the obvious choice of guy to be phased out.
But they weren't phasing out Tatum. They made the decision bringing Durant back that he's going to play. And it's like, okay, I get that. That moves him a spot down the pecking order. that to me does not seem like that it should have moved him out of the rotation.
I understand that you have really the players he'd be with, he needs to be able to be a knockdown three-point shooter, and that's just not really what Jason Tatum does. He is the type of guy that needs the ball in his hands a little bit. He tries to do those little mid-range shots. He's just not a knockdown three-point shooter, and it seems like Kerr wants to use him in that way. But again, that kind of goes back to my whole Steve Kerr point where there have been a lot of players that have come through Team USA that have for some reason had some struggles, Jaren Jackson Jr., for example, and I think it's just because Steve Kerr doesn't necessarily know how to use these guys. He's like, I know how to use the superstars because they're going to have the ball in their hand and they can run the offense mostly, but when they aren't in there, it just feels like it's a bit stagnant, and the only reason they're having all of this success, to be quite honest, is just because the talent gap is there with that second unit, but it just feels like a lot of times when I'm watching Team USA play, specifically this team, it's your turn, now it's your turn,
yeah.
Now it's your turn. It doesn't feel like there's actually a flow of offense happening unless Steph, LeBron, and KD are in there because they know how to play. They know how to play together. They've played together before. I know Steph, it's his first Olympics, but they've played together, and they're smart enough basketball players to where they can be successful out there. But when you remove one or two of them, it just really slows down and gets in the mud. And that's why it's like, throw in Jason Tatum, see if he can help dislodge that funk that you might be in every once in a while in the offensive end. And it's just, it's very odd the reasoning he's giving for not playing Jason Tatum. It's don't tell me it's because he doesn't fit. That just doesn't make any sense. It's Jason Tatum. He's one of the best basketball players in the NBA. He's a champion. You should be able to figure out a way for him to fit. To me, that's a coaching fault, not a Jason Tatum fault.
And I assume some of this gets cleaned up because I guess the other complicating factor is when you've made the decision Durant's going to play, but you're bringing him off the bench. Because it felt like for a while they were trying to figure out, all right, Booker kind of felt like a Durant placeholder. But
yeah.
Then as you pointed out, like, no, it's Booker's played a lot when Kerr's in charge of Team USA. And so then you're starting to do the move of like, maybe this isn't a placeholder. But it's like, I feel like if you move Durant back to the starting lineup, either it moves Holiday or Booker down, but I would argue you gotta have someone's gonna play defense.
It should move Booker down. It's another thing is, should we be starting three guards? when you have the small forwards that Team USA has and the bigs, it feels like starting three guards might be one of the reasons you keep starting a little bit slow. Because Drew Holiday, I love Drew Holiday. I think he should be a starter. He's not giving you much on the offensive end. I just don't necessarily believe in Devin Booker that much for some reason in Olympic play and in international play. I know he's had success and he's been on gold medal teams, but when he gets the basketball, I'm kind of like, give it to somebody else. Like, I'm very quickly like, get the ball out of your hands, give it to somebody else. I don't trust you for some reason. The intensity's not there from Devin Booker like I hoped it would be. So that's why, personally, I would hope to see I hope that Kevin Durant starts moving forward. Devin Booker slides down to the bench, and then maybe split the minutes between Booker and Tatum.
Or, you know,
like 26 minutes is a lot of minutes for Devin Booker.
I mean, I get it. They're not the same player, but it's like, I don't know. Maybe am I insane for thinking like
he had the second most minutes on the team?
Maybe you just sit out Derek White. Like, wasn't that the whole point of bringing in Derek White?
It's
like, if he didn't play, it's like, to me, that was the whole deal.
Yeah, Booker had a good game. He was 4 or 5 from three. I know he had a good game. But it's just, if you're making me choose between giving Jason Tatum a little bit more minutes and Devin Booker playing 26, give Tatum some minutes. Just give him some minutes. Split the time between those two guys. Derek White's minutes should probably go down. He was, you know, solid in that game defensively, but I think that Team USA can mostly handle the defensive side of the basketball without having to rely on Derek White and Drew Holiday being in there.
Okay, and then it didn't really bother me that much. Also, I'm pretty sure Mark subtweeted me, but Dwayne, you don't have to have like a punchline for everything.
Yeah, so that's you and I were talking before the show started, and it happened kind of during the gymnastics too.
Yeah.
We have a few people, like, I for the most part enjoyed Dwayne Wade as the color commentator. I do think that he had some solid moments, But somebody's just got to teach him, hey, man, if you have a line, don't use it every single time LeBron scores. You got to space it out. Like, if you use it once or twice, sure, that's a pretty good line. I will say it does seem like Dwayne Wade is in on the joke. He had a couple tweets afterwards where I think that he understood he may have overused it. I also think he was just excited watching his friends and being the color commentator. It was a cool thing having him there because he could talk about his personal experience with the players. But I have noticed that some of the commentators in every single sport, the guys are just going for the jokes in moments that you don't really need to be going for the jokes, man. Just tell us about the sport, because to be quite honest, most of the time, I don't really know the rules that I'm watching. Like, I'm having to learn a lot about the sport, specifically rugby, handball, yeah, things like that. And eventually, you know, you figure out what's going on. But just tell us about the game. You don't have to go for the joke every single time, because there's been a lot of just awkward pauses on the broadcast, and then the lead guy just kind of transitions it and moves on, and there's nobody laughs. It's happened frequently.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, I do acknowledge, okay, this is a whole different audience, but, like, I don't think D-Wade doesn't call games, right? He's a studio guy when he does TV, right?
I don't believe so. This may be in, like, an audition to try to start getting those, because, you know, the NBA is getting NBC, so I do wonder.
Right? I mean, Noah Eagle's going to be the number two guy.
Yeah. Now, Noah, man, he's so good. He's so good.
I do not understand how he has the voice of, like, just a guy that's been a vet for, like, 30 years. It's unreal.
He's going to be in our life for a long time.
Yeah. He's going to be calling a lot of big games. But maybe that is the case. But I don't know. It just felt like the entire time, like, I get it. These are his friends. But it felt so PR-y.
Yeah.
It was just like,
It's like, all right. It's like, it was good. The first time I was like, okay, that's a pretty good line. By the fifth time, in the second quarter, I was like, all right, let's find a new line. Let's find a new line. And then during the gymnastics final today, just an awesome moment at the end of it. You didn't get to hear it because you weren't listening to the volume, but I was watching at home. And before a pommel horse hero got up, one of the guys was trying to describe it in layman's terms to most people who are watching.
Oh, yeah.
And he decided to say,
cross sports reference.
If this
love
was
a cross sports
like, you know,
reference.
Imagine this is a football game. The pommel horse kid, he's coming in to hit a 65-yard field goal at the end of the game to win. And I'm like, I don't know if it's a 65-yarder. I mean, let's maybe make that a 50.
We're talking
a 50.
Indoors. I mean, I know they're getting good.
What's the wind look like?
You know,
who's the kicker?
Like, Justin Tucker kicked a 67-yarder when there was nothing else. Like, it was the last play of the game. It's like, we don't really do a ton of those, but okay, we'll let you go. It's football. You're trying to talk football.
Hey, I respected the effort.
Then also, shout-outs to Dawn Staley. My other overreaction is she pretty much ended the Caitlin Clark debate that, she should have been there.
Yeah, our bad.
Okay.
That's our bad.
Yeah, we kind of knew this all along, but now it's like, thank you, Dawn, for it. It has a different set of gravitas coming from her. It's like, thank you for just saying what everyone has kind of known was stupid to begin with. But, yeah, she should be there, although I'm fine with Caitlin having a break.
Right.
Something tells me she'll have another opportunity. Let's see. Olympic tennis has rocked, and let me explain to you why it's rocked.
So good.
Number one, it's like not quite the senior circuit, but it's like we're watching basically the entire generation that built men's tennis of Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, and Andy Murray. Like, we're watching them all have one last ride, except for Raj, who's not there. But it's just fantastic. Like, we're acting like Nadal's digging deep when really we just put the number one player on the planet. We're like, hey, you're going to play with him because you're from the same country, and we're going to act like we're doing it one more time for Nadal. And by the way, let me be clear. I'm a Nadal guy, so I'm soaking this all in. Put him on your back, Carlos. Like, just take him to the promised land. But it's rocked. It's been awesome.
I've also enjoyed so far in this Olympics. You can really feel how much the competitors kind of hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
During the events.
Well,
it's old school. It's back.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like 2012 again. It feels like 2008 when I was watching. It's just, I have been so impressed by the Olympics and the coverage and how it has felt watching it. It really does, and I know that the numbers are showing it too, but, you know, the COVID year and all that stuff that happened in 2020, it does feel like collectively everybody is locked into the Olympics in a way that we haven't been in a while.
I think time zones have helped.
Yes,
it's ahead, but it's not 12 hours ahead, or it's not whatever. We're not trying to do the whole math of is this live, is this not. So I think that's been a big part of it. You're right, the rugby was great.
That little French dude was amazing.
That guy, and then the 6'7" guy for Fiji. It's like, has someone not tried to pick him up and put him on a roster? And then you realize, like, the Chiefs have a rugby guy, and I think the Bills drafted one. So I think there's going to be some crossover. So that will be some of the Olympics. We'll, of course, keep watching. There's more medals that have been given out. We'll discuss a little bit of that during hour number two. But let's turn our attention to Tiger basketball. We'll do that next with Munns right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I was trying to, what was, Rob Zombie was like redoing horror movies, I feel like, when I was in high school. There was one where, like, some killer used, like, piano wire. I remember seeing that one. It's like, I think I'm good with Rob Zombie.
Was that Halloween?
Maybe.
Yeah, he did the Halloween movies.
Yeah. I was like,
not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
I think I've had enough.
He recently redid, but he made a movie out of the Munsters, and
that was bad.
I cannot bring myself to watch it. It's on Netflix. I cannot bring myself to watch it, but anybody who's never seen The Devil's Rejects, it's all very gory and violent and all that stuff, but it's The Devil's Rejects is pretty good.
So today is Ed Scott's first day as he takes over as the athletic director at the University of Memphis. We also got the news that Jeff Crane is indeed leaving. He's heading to South Carolina. Another member of the athletic staff headed to join Laird Veach at Missouri. I guess I would start with this question. How much of this is expected versus unexpected? Because anytime you have a changeover, there's going to be people that are going to go, people are going to stay. Have we hit the point where people have been caught flat-footed?
No. This is based on the people that I've talked to and anywhere you go at any level whether it's administration, whether it's coaching, whether it's, just like players, whenever there's a change at the top, there's going to be, a change above, if there's a head coaching change, there's going to be players looking to leave. If there's a head coaching change, you're going to have turnover on the staff. If there's a, an athletic director change, you're going to have turnover on that staff. So in the athletic department. And so I think that's exactly what this is. Part of it is Laird, you know, went to become the athletic director at Missouri. And so there's opportunities and openings on that staff. And of course he's going to go, the first place he's going to look to fill those positions is to the people he knows and trusts. And it just so happens that there are some of those people who used to work for the University of Memphis. When you look at the whole scope of the entire athletic department, I think the number right now of people who have left since Laird left, I think it's at like six or something like that. One of them, Scott Burns, the football SID, was leaving anyway. Like he's gone to Florida. So, I just think it is what it is. Whenever there's change, a change in leadership, there's going to be a little bit of a trickle down, and that's what you're seeing here.
How difficult is it going to be for Ed Scott? Because not only are you coming and you're trying to put together staff, but you're also in the middle of a big construction project with the Liberty Bowl.
That part is going to be, I'm sure, challenging because, you know, not only is he dealing, is he coming in to this massive project that's already in progress. You go and you look at the live cam every day and you see chunks and chunks of the Liberty Bowl are being torn down each and every day. And there's still money that needs to be raised to get to the finish line with that. And so that, if that was all he was walking into, it would still be a challenging time to take on this job. But then you've got the job openings. Let's not forget, he's also got to hire a softball coach. And then there's all this other stuff. There's the revenue sharing stuff, and there's, it feels like a very daunting time to be taking on a job like this, or this particular job. But Ed was asked about it. He's been open about it. In the times that he has talked to the media, and he's made it very clear that he believes he's up for it. And yeah, it all starts today. Today is officially day one for Dr. Scott.
You've mentioned the updated look of the live cam and whatnot. You've just tweeted out a picture from the University of Memphis. So basically that is the west side, correct? The old press box side is the west side.
Yeah.
Okay. So the west side, we have basically from, you have those kind of field box seats that have the blue seats, if you will, kind of a little bit above that. You've got basically from about the 30 to the 10, that chunk is entirely removed. Do we know when they start, like, is basically like everything underneath the press box going to be gone? Is that what we're going to be looking at?
Even the press box is going to go. Okay. Everything from, what is it, the 10 to the 10.
Yeah, it looks like 10s to 10s, right? Yeah.
Yeah, everything between the 10s and above the blue chair backs is going to be gone within the next 2 weeks. I mean, we went out last week when they started this, and that's what the now former Deputy Athletic Director Jeff Crane said that it was, yes, it was starting that day, but it was going to take upwards of 3 weeks for it to all be completely torn down. That brings you right up to the kickoff, pretty much. If it takes that full 3 weeks, it takes you pretty much right up to real close to kickoff against North Alabama. But yeah, I mean, that's my understanding is that you're going to, it's going to be like, pulling the shades up on a window, a massive window, you can already see most of the Sports and Events Center through that hole that you mentioned. And you're going to be able to see everything else behind that side of the stadium, you know, for however long it takes them to rebuild it.
Do we know, because I assume, based on looking at it, it's like, okay, they're going to take out the side chunks first, and then they'll take down the middle with the press box last. Are there lights on that side? Like, I was trying to think about that. Like, is only half the field going to be lit?
No, I think, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one, Jeffrey. But I cannot imagine that, that lighting is going to be affected. I've covered many a high school football games in South Mississippi in my day. And, I don't think there's going to be a situation where, I mean, like I've covered more than one game in South Mississippi, high school football game in South Mississippi, where lights went out during the game and they continued to play the game.
I've been a part of a couple of those myself.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that we're going to get there. But
in fairness, we did have a Super Bowl one time where the lights went out too. So,
you know, I was there. I was actually there for that game as a member of the media. I was there with the Hattiesburg American, and that was one of the most surreal things I think I've ever experienced in my career. And as a matter of fact, they handed out, and I still have this somewhere in a box somewhere, but they handed out a press release. It was one sentence, and it was a physical piece of paper, and it was you know, it was on NFL letterhead and everything, and it was one sentence, and it was like, you know, we're aware there's a situation with the lights, we're working on it, or something like that. So yes, like, but I do not think that we're going to have a situation where we've got a partially lit field at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium at any point.
All right, then we've got the other news that you've just written about. It's just gone live, I think, about 20 minutes ago over at commercialappeal.com. Penny Hardaway, Luke Kennard, Snappy Gilmore, among notables in the Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's going to be part of the Danny Thomas Celebrity Pro-Am that will be at Spring Creek. I believe it's the Monday of the golf tournament, or is it Tuesday?
No, it's actually Thursday. It's the same. It's the start.
Oh, but they're going to play it. Okay, the tournament.
Yeah, same day as the FedEx Angie Championship.
Okay, do we think Penny's going to take basketball questions that day?
No. I mean, like, I was talking to somebody earlier about this that I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I mean, I hope he does. But until he does it, I do not expect it to be any different than the way it's been all offseason. Again, I do hope that we get to a point where we can ask him basketball questions at non-basketball events. But I'd be very surprised if he goes in depth that day about anything basketball.
We also found out not only we have local royalty, of course, with Penny. I did not know that the Medici family was still in the game. We've got Prince Lorenzo de' Medici. I did not know the Medicis were still around in the 2020s.
You know, I didn't either, but that's what the information we have is. And so, I found that to be very interesting. Probably, though, more interesting to me is that David Arquette is there.
Is he going to be ready to rumble?
Yeah, I mean,
I was surprised you didn't include that as his acting credits.
I almost did. I almost did because on the email that we got, they listed Scream, they listed Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and they listed Never Been Kissed.
Mm.
And
Drew Barrymore's Finest.
Like, I just can't tell you how close I was to including Ready to Rumble, but I was in a hurry. And so I just went with what they had. I apologies to the Never Been Kissed fans out there. But, I excluded that one and went with Buffy the Vampire Slayer instead. The classic early 90s Christy Swanson vehicle.
Yeah, not Sarah Michelle Gellar. That's the TV show. She's the... Christie's the movie.
We're talking about the original with the dear departed Paul Rubens as a vampire way back in the 90s, Mr. Pee Wee Herman himself. No, I really, really, really was close to putting Ready to Rumble, but I ended up not.
Do we think at that point Luke Kennard will have signed a deal? He's playing.
Yeah,
for those that don't know.
Luke Kennard is part of that field, which he was last year as well. And DeMichael Cole and I were actually talking about that. Like, what would be the more interesting availability if he has signed, re-signed with the Grizzlies, or if he has signed with someone else, or if he has not signed with anyone still at the time on August 15th? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Like, what would be the most interesting? I think it's probably if he's not signed with anyone.
Yeah, right. I think if you're talking about just in terms of questions, like having an opportunity, yeah, I think that would be the most interesting.
Now, that being said, I do think that he is going to re-sign with the Grizzlies, and I would be willing to bet you that it is going to come. That's going to happen before he is made available in Collierville on August 15th.
We also got Al from Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Richard Karn, for those that don't know.
Richard Karn, former host of Family Feud.
Oh, yeah.
I could have included that in there, but I didn't. I just went with, what was it? I went with Home Improvement and Last Man Standing, the other Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's friend.
Yes, Tim Allen's guy.
Yeah, I think my wife will be happy to see Vince Carter play, too. My wife loves her some Vince Carter.
Yep, Vince Carter. And, of course, the one of the other perennial participants in this event, Brad Penny, will be there. He's been there every year that I can remember. Another conversation Michael and I were having, like, when you think of Brad Penny, what's the first team you think of?
The Marlins, right?
Same here.
Am I right?
And you know, like, yes, he won a World Series with them, but I think the most people, when they think of Brad Penny, they would think of San Francisco Giants, I think. I'm glad that there's another.
Yeah, because I think of him and Beckett. Like, they were like the 1-2 punch.
Well, and you could throw in A.J. Burnett as well. That was a heck of a three-headed monster. And then after they won the World Series in 03, they blew it up, and because that's what the Marlins do. But Marlin himself, Brad Penny, will be there. I'm trying to remember.
Honestly, I don't think I would go Giants second. I think I'd go Dodgers. Now, I should also point out, when Brad Penny got sent to the Dodgers, the Cardinals were playing the Dodgers in the playoffs. And so, like, it was when I was in college in L.A., so I went to a decent amount of Dodger games. That's the only reason why I think that may not be fair.
Right. Your lens, you're looking at it through, is a little bit skewed one way.
Yeah. Let's wrap here. What was the most interesting question from your mailbag?
Oh, my goodness. That was more than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be tough for me to think about off the top of my head. But
here's one.
Yeah.
Is Vieira Tuck, is it Daniil or Daniel?
Daniel.
Is Daniel ever going to show up?
That's probably the most interesting one. And the answer, I don't remember exactly how I answered it, but it was something along the lines of almost like I'll believe it when I see it. And that's, I don't think he's going to be here.
Yeah. Your answer was, I thought this was the more important. Vertuk has not signed with Memphis. Whether he will be eligible or not remains to be seen. Is that because there's some pro, because I know he's been playing with a lot of different things. Is it because of whether or not he's actually been a professional?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe the academics weren't completed. You wouldn't rule it out. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I don't. We'll just say that I don't think it has anything to do with his pro status. But I will say that I don't think the door is completely closed, but if unless something changes like pretty dramatically in a pretty short period of time, I just do not expect him to be part of this roster. I mean, you know, it's not even August yet, so like things I guess could change, but I would err on the side of him not being here.
Munz, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.